Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. All right, quick word about Trollco Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TrollCo.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order.
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart-loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight, and let's go.
Here we go!
Thursday, April 23rd, 2026, draft day in the National Football League. If you came here today to hear my comprehensive, well-researched, and thorough mock draft for round number one, you clearly have never listened to this podcast before because, no, I don't have such a thing. There are many out there who do, who have exactly what you're looking for in long format. I mean, 1 hour, hour and a half, 2 hour long podcasts. I urge you to go find those because guess what? They're out there. I'm not going to do it. I do have some draft-related news items for you, and I've got Armin and Butchie, my boys from up north, to join the show in just a second. But first, I couldn't believe when I saw this soundbite how perfect it is. The great Howard Cosell. Talking about the NFL draft being the most, quote, overrated, over-propagandized annual event in American sport. This was 1981. Howard, long since dead, is spinning like a top in his grave at what this thing has become. He said, "The print medium are principal tub thumpers of this nothing event. And fans and galleries can be so sold and so utterly naive and unknowledgeable." This was only when they had the thing at the Grand Ballroom in the Sheraton Hotel in New York City and only let in a small little segment of fans, much less building huge stages and having entire city blocks cordoned off for the people to come in like cattle to go, "Murr, draft pick, murr, lineman." Here was the great Howard Cosell back in 1981.
Football League and network television has a sex symbol. It is the Wizard of Words, the coach of the cosmos, the most recognizable man in America today, Howard Cosell. What is your opinion of the way the National Football League dips into collegiate talent every year?
I think Pete Rozelle should win a Tony Award, an Emmy Award, and an Oscar Award. for creating the most overrated, over-propagandized annual event in American sport. He's got to be accredited as a marketing genius. I think it's simply wonderful the way the print medium joins in as the principal tub thumpers of this nothing event. And I also think it's remarkable that the fans up in the galleries can be so sold and so utterly naive and unknowledgeable. The record of the annual draft speaks for itself. Let's take last year. Rams took Johnson, Texas, defensive back, first round. Almost destroyed their team. Rebellion, walkouts. They succeeded in losing their first two games to the inferior Detroit and Tampa Bay teams. The Jets, Lamb Jones, bust. The Giants, Haynes, defensive back, bust. As a matter of fact, as one reviews the history of the annual draft and what the New York teams have done, nothing has helped them less. I have in mind the memorable Rocky Thompson for the Giants. I suggest, since Burgess Owens, once a number one draft choice with the Jets, and Otis McKinney, once a number two draft choice with the Giants, since they made it and made it big with the Oakland Raiders, I suggest all teams get down to the nub of the matter. They shouldn't draft players. They should draft Al Davis.
Absolutely epic. I only wish the quality was better. I did my best to improve it, but that was the brilliance of Howard Cosell. One thing I do find interesting about the draft, and didn't know this until just yesterday, is that of all the mock drafts conducted by all the media organizations, and hey, we're a radio show in Pittsburgh, we're going to call the radio show in New York to get their mock pick, and we're going to have producers scrambling on the phones as we go through every city. Who do you take? Here's who's off the board. Who do you take? Yeah, you know, mock draft. Did you know that the NFL does their own mock draft with all 32 of their teams? They take part in a closed-door, virtual, one-round mock draft ahead of the real thing in Pittsburgh. They do it to test all of the club-to-league communication technology before the actual draft begins. Now, this got me to thinking. Even though it's closed doors and not televised, do you really, as a representative of, say, the Arizona Cardinals or the New York Jets or the Washington Commanders, want to reveal your true intentions in this mock draft? Do you intentionally pick somebody who is completely not on your board? Or do they mock draft pick names of non-existent players? Jarvis McHoneymuffin, cornerback, Nowhere State. I would love to know, because part of me thinks some of these teams are so paranoid, they wouldn't in a million years participate in something like this because they'd be afraid of tipping their hand. Hines is coming up with a new pseudo darling of the draft. He's called Mr. 57. He'll be the 57th person taken in the draft. That is a lot better than Mr. Irrelevant, which is the last player selected in the draft. But as the saying goes, era, we have major corporate sponsors sponsoring this event. So Heinz Ketchup and the maker of Heinz 57 sauce, which is a steak sauce, sort of like the ketchup of steak sauces. Many people, if you're at any kind of fine restaurant, if you ask for some Heinz 57, it's seen as a huge affront to the chef and the restaurant that you would ruin your steak with Heinz 57. But Mr. 57, who has teamed up with former return man extraordinaire Devin Hester, is going to give the 57th overall pick a red ketchup-colored jacket and free ketchup for life. How much ketchup would it be? Like, how much ketchup do you think? And I love ketchup. If you got kids who like mac and cheese, and if they like chicken nuggets, hot dogs, hamburgers, they go through a ton of ketchup. Wonder what a lifetime actually looks like. I don't know why they didn't do it, you know, like a coat the color of Heinz 57, kind of brownish gold, kind of. I don't know. 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk, disgruntled and detached from the team, but still under contract at least through June 1, in which he is expected to be a post-June 1 cap casualty. Brandon Ayuk has been on some teams' radar this offseason. The Commanders are one of them, with Adam Peters, formerly of San Francisco, purportedly having an inside line on the wide receiver. Has showed up on social media for the first time in a while on Instagram. Posted a picture of him getting off a private jet with a short little stairway with two of his pit bulls in tow. It also showed him looking extremely fat for a wide receiver. Not fat civilian fat, but he looks doughy and out of shape. The tweet was, or the Instagram post was, "Yeen trying to boss your life up. We ain't on the same shill." Huh? As I said in a tweet, and there are some Commander fans I've heard from and I know that have no problem getting into the Brandon Ayuk business. I'm like, in a million years, hell no. Hell to the no on him. Shane Lowry and Brooks Koepka are odd partners, to say the least. And yet they'll be teeing it up at the once a year only two-man event on the PGA Tour, the Zurich Classic. Shane Lowry, of course, the doughy, bearded Irishman. Brooks Koepka, the somewhat disinterested, "Hey, losers, I just play golf because I washed out in baseball at Florida State." Four-time major winner. Have teamed up. And it's pretty funny because I saw the pairing. I'm like, what? There's no natural connection there. They've played against each other on Ryder Cups. I don't get it. Well, hear from frickin' Frack about how this came about.
Yeah, no, I asked about 10 or 12 other guys first. And they all said no. Rory quickly said after last year, I don't think he wanted to come back. So it wasn't until the end of the year I was doing my schedule and, you know, I was going to add this in. I knew I needed to start looking for a new teammate, and I met Brooks down in Florida at a place where we both practice just after Christmas, and mentioned that I might need a partner for New Orleans. So he said he'd be up for it, and kind of went from there. I said it to his caddy Ricky a couple of weeks later, and then I saw Brooks a few weeks after that and said, "Are we going to tee it up together?" And he said yes. So nice to be here. You have to have multiple majors to be able to team up with me in this tournament. So it's good that you said yes.
Brooks,
that's pretty funny right there. I think the two of them will get along like chalk and cheese, as the saying goes over in the UK. I'd never heard that before. Chalk and cheese, what? It's a British idiom used to describe two people or things that are completely different from each other and have nothing in common. I know you can eat cheese. Can you eat chalk? Why would you in any way? I have no idea, but I found it kind of funny. File this one under hell yeah. Clark County has approved a motorcycle jump over the Caesars Palace fountains on May 17th to celebrate the grand opening of Tau Group's new Omnia Day Club. Yes! Seven-time X Games gold medalist Colby Raja will perform the stunt around 2 p.m. Now, if you're about my age, if you know, you know. The greatest jump over the Caesars Palace fountains was done by one Evel Knievel back in the 70s. In fact, 1967 it was, December 31st, New Year's Eve. He attempted to jump the Caesars Palace fountains. He actually did get over them, but he nearly died upon landing. The 141-foot jump failed when the Triumph snagged on the landing edge, causing a crash that resulted in severe injuries. Now, the bikes they use now are way lighter and are way more powerful than what Evel was using in 1967. Evel jumped the fountains with a Triumph Bonneville T120, 650cc. I'm not a motorcycle guy, but I have read and I've heard that this Triumph Bonneville bike, the T120, was way heavier than today's small dirt bikes. And it didn't have the kind of shock absorbing to take a landing of a jump of that length. And I'm not saying this jump is necessarily easy for this X Games guy, but I think relatively speaking, nobody is saying, wow, I don't know if he's going to make it if he does this jump or the fountains. The new bikes and the new shocks and the new power
And more importantly, the new crazy from these X Games guys and these motorcycle guys is something else. Sports Jeopardy is happening. Got greenlit by ABC. It's going to be hosted by Joe Buck. Jeopardy, but sports. That'll be kind of fun. It's sports trivia. It's been around forever. Somewhere Howard Schwab, Howie, is Super Sky Point to him. He passed away, former ESPN fixture of the nerd and information set. He would do Stump the Schwab on ESPN2 back in the day. So I'm not against it. I probably won't watch it. But Darren Rovell thinks it sucks. Rovell tweeted the following, and this is just classic Darren. And I do like him. I have him on whenever I can. Given that ESPN is struggling with a young audience, writes Rovell, this is a very strange decision to have Joe Buck be the announcer. There are so many better hosts that appeal to younger fans. FaZe Rugg, Robbie Berger, Dude Perfect Guys, iShow Speed, all better choices in this environment than Joe Buck, who turns 57 this week. Hey, I'm 57. I hate how that's thrown around like, look at the old. What a disgusting, out-of-touch old he is. I don't know who FaZe Rugg is, F-A-Z-E Rugg, or Robbie Berger. I've heard of Dude Perfect. I've vaguely heard of iShow Speed. People were just killing Rovell in the comments, but he doesn't seem to mind. He's got a jaw like Randall Tex Cobb when it comes to insults. Somebody said, you think the game of Jeopardy is going to appeal to a younger generation? Your sons watch a lot of knowledge-based game shows. He says, no, doing Jeopardy at all is a geriatric exercise. Darren, my friend, you're not much younger than me. So take it easy, pal. Take it easy. Quick break when we come back. Armin, Butchie, my boys from Scani, we'll see if they've dried out yet from all the rain and thunderstorms and tornadoes they've had lately. You are listening to the Zabecast.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Hello, boys. Have you dried out yet from the rains and the tornadoes that have ripped through Wisconsin?
No, we have not. My wife still does not have school. Village of Shiocton is still underwater from the Wolf River. We have tried to do things. My dad owned the New London Piggly Wiggly. So my dad went up there Friday to help sandbag before the Wolf River reached its highest. This was a 100-year flood, Zay, up in the Fox Valley. So as much as it's been bad in Milwaukee, and the southern part of the state, because they've gotten hit themselves, northern Wisconsin has absolutely just been destroyed, and we are feeling for them. And so we're going to try to get over there and help out. But the thing is, you had to stay away. Like, people were going to these towns trying to drive through the flooded areas, not realizing, or maybe realizing.
And they're morons. They're
morons.
They're standing water.
Stay away.
And the feeling is, Armin, I cannot be inconvenienced at all in my life.
There's part of that. I also think people don't know any better when they're driving. If they haven't driven through large flooded areas, you kind of think your car can handle it, right? But if you haven't done it, then you do. See, we had, our issues were different down, your issues because you're in the Valley, Butch, were the flooding of the river, right? Sure. Our issues were the constant, like, wind and tornado warnings that we had down here, right? And then some flooding. But the flooding for us was worse in August, that night of the Packers' first preseason game, when, you know, Drew and Billy were trying to drive back from Green Bay and we're driving through it.
Really,
that was the flooding issue more of that time of year for us. Ours were the constant tornado warnings and the wind issues and stuff like that. Luckily, you know, most people's issues were in their basement, but mine wasn't.
Your basement at the new Armin Casa.
So basement was a champ. I had no problem there. My issue was a
situation. You got pump one pump. Or two?
We got two, actually. We have two
sump pumps. Yeah. Do you have battery backup?
Double barreled action. I believe there is. I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, I'm still getting to know everything.
What do you got for sump pump?
But the issue for us
you're
was
next
we did it.
On sump pump talk. What do you got?
Got one. We're good.
What do you mean you're good?
We're
good. You're good until it fails. Does it have battery backup?
One should be enough, though, most of the time.
No, it said all the time.
I got a generator. I got all this other stuff. That's fine.
Listen,
oh, nice, Butch.
Listen, as Butchie likes to say.
We're fine.
I have a home in which it is half exposed on a hillside so that the basement has a walkout door, okay? So the natural slope of my property is such that you would hardly ever imagine how my basement could flood. I still have two sump pumps and a battery backup. You know why? It's pennies on the dollar from when your basement gets flooded. I would recommend to any homeowner, bite the bullet, get another sump pump, and get a battery backup. End of lecture.
You also have to know your general risk based on the grade, where you are, all these things. Are you in a floodplain? No, I'm just saying.
You don't need to know any of that. Get two.
Fine.
And then add a battery backup. Butch, you're in real danger. I'm worried about you. But I'm sorry about Shiocton being underwater. Yeah. I had an Airbnb booked for next week in Shiocton because I hear it's lovely right around the end of April, and I'm probably going to have to cancel that.
I think it's already probably been canceled. But it is great. Great fishing on the river, too. You could have came up and slayed some walleye, and we could have seen the sturgeon spawning as they were going back up the river right around Bamboo Corner.
All right.
And as we joke about it, but seriously, like, there's a lot of people that have been affected. Like, when I say the bad flooding, it's terrible. So thinking of all those guys.
I heard this is going to mess up the sturgeon spawn, too. That's what my dad was telling me, at least.
Yes.
How was Leon, by the way?
In the parking lots.
How was Leon? I miss Leon.
He's doing good. In fact, you know, in true dad fashion, like, Laura couldn't get the garage door down the other day. No, it turned out not to be a big deal. But my dad was over in, like, 5 minutes. And he's like, I'm already here. All we had to do was clean the sensor a little bit and move something out of the way. But it's nice to be close to them now. Our new place is close to them. So.
Does Leon ask about me ever? I feel
actually does bring you up sometimes. I don't know. It's
a random thing. Butchie, that Armin's dad, Leon, who I never met in person, actually came to really have a kinship towards me.
I don't know. Because there was a big, like, when you asked Armin that, there was a big,
I hadn't thought about it. He didn't really believe until I was actually on the plane, he didn't really believe Zay Vegas was a real thing that was happening. Not that he just didn't know about it because you hadn't done it for so long since he knew you. He's like, oh, this is really happening? He's actually doing this? I'm like, yeah, that's the thing.
So he doubted me. Good. I feel good about that.
Yeah, there you go. He's keeping you honest. He's keeping you motivated.
You're dead to me, you and all your Armenian holidays and your souvlaki or whatever the food you have. Yeah, you know, I wanted to do a Growing Up Armin podcast where I'd go to his house and sit there in his living room, Butchie, with his dad and his mom and his whole family, the whole mishpucha. And Armin kept, you know, stiff-arming me. He was like, it's not good.
Yeah, I was on one of those conversations. Yeah, you said, hey, I want the full meal. I want the whole experience. Yeah. I want all of it.
It's pretty cool when you get facts wrong.
Conversation.
It's cool when you get facts wrong. No, you had to cancel one night. My mom was all ready to get all kinds of baklava ready and all kinds of nice boreg and, you know, Burma. And you had
canceled.
You couldn't do it. Yeah, you couldn't do it.
They
yeah.
would never cancel anything.
You know what? That's actually quite plausible.
Hey, things happen. You could have seen the my parents have 8 different Armenian artists displayed in their house.
Wow. Okay. So let's
summer family.
Right. Before we get to some of the bigger meatballs today in sports, including is LeBron James on PEDs. Oh, I just went there and I said it. Also, the Wemby fall from last night. Holy shit. Let me just get one thing in real quick, lest I forget. This Mamdani grocery store in New York City, Butchie, people have been emailing me saying, Brian is of the grocery store business. his dad having owned and run one. Can you please get Butchie to weigh in on a $30 million government grocery store when you could probably buy one for $3 million?
Yeah, no, that does, economics don't make sense. I mean, Butch's Piggly Wiggly, you could, I could have got that for $1 million or $2 million easily. So, like, I mean, I could, oh yeah, we could have worked it. We could have found ways to do it. 30, no, 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 this just doesn't make sense.
Well, what's the cost of property in New London versus Manhattan? I'm just asking.
Well, this or that, tit or tat. Like, come on. I mean, like, I'm not going to sit there and do this. All right? I'm just saying.
Noted expert economist, Brian Butch.
They said, Armin, that a comparable store in Manhattan could have been had for $3 million. They're not large.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Grocery stores aren't big. Correct. No, they don't have to be huge.
The point of what Mamdani is doing is food prices are too high because people are gouging. And so we're going to run a government one where food is cheaper. Well, you, Butchie, knowing quite well the margins in a grocery store are wafer thin, right?
They're not big. They're not
every
big.
Every stolen Kit Kat cuts into your dad's monthly, right?
Absolutely. And it did. And that was the biggest thing that caused, you know, good months or bad months was always theft.
Yeah, whether it was in New London.
From employees, whether it was theft from customers or, yes, New London, Armin.
I'm asking. I didn't know there was a crime wave in New London. I didn't know there was a crime wave in Outagamie County or whatever.
Armin, there's a crime wave everywhere. Come on.
Is that why my strawberries were $8 a pound the other day?
Probably.
What a racket. Part of it.
Now, that's racket. Also diesel fuel because that's going up because of Iran.
Right.
Listen, I understand the way the grocery business works. There's ebbs and flows. Ways it happens. Anytime there's a war, now all of a sudden my groceries go up, which means Pete's bills go up, which that's why you don't make as much money. Then there's an issue of that. Then you've got rot because it's taking longer because they're sitting on the trucks longer. So the rot of the fruit.
I didn't even think about the rot.
Yeah, there's rot issues. You can't have old fruit. So then that's why I go.
That's waste.
There's rot. There's people who return stuff too often.
Return food. That's why I go to the discount bakery section.
There's people that eat grapes in the grocery store, pay for the grapes, then you eat them. You don't eat them while you're shopping.
Right. Okay. Well, I just had to put a quarter in your jukebox on that. Let's get to the NBA. The Wemby fall last night. Holy shit. Have you ever seen a guy fall so awkwardly and so hard in your life?
Yeah, me. Like, I mean,
big tree fall hard, huh?
Have you seen my dislocated elbow? Have you rewatched that one?
On that, this was Wemby doing a spin move, which he can do because he's got a sick handle.
Correct.
And then he tripped.
He tripped on his face. Like, but some of that happened. Like, the reality of the Zabe is like when you're that big, to be able to spin, be able to move, like it does happen, but. The fact that it's the crack of the head, it was nasty.
It was actually similar to, it was 91 playoffs. Larry Bird fell like that against the Pacers, Celtics-Pacers. Oh, really? But the main difference is, and Butch touched on it, Wemby's bigger than everybody he's ever been, 7'5". So that distance to fall down as he's spinning down will smack that harder. But that was a great, great game in NBA history, one of Larry's last kind of great moments in the NBA, 91 playoffs. But he smacked his face against the ground. Broke a bone in his face, and he came back at the end. He came back to win it in game
came
five.
Back in the game.
Came back, and it was crazy in the garden. You should look that up. So
people are already sketching out, Butchie, the impact on the series, which is now 1-1 because the Blazers stole a game, and that makes El Cheapo, Tom Dundon, their new owner, irate, thinking,
what if the game goes 7? I mean, that's another hotel stay.
I'm going to have to fly him back down to San Antonio.
And he was celebrating like he thought he did something because, he took a lot of heat yesterday and then they win this game and he thinks he's the man and all this stuff. So
but he should take heat. This is ridiculous. Like to have the staffers check out of the hotel at noon so you don't get charged a late fee and then you make them sit in the lobby
for
3 hours. Like,
yeah, they had no late checkout and he didn't fly the team photographer or social media person.
Or the two-way players.
That I'm sort of like, they're two-way players.
You've made the investment, and that's part of what this is. Like
these two ways are chasing ass and getting high and they don't give a shit about watching the NBA playoffs.
I don't agree with that. I think they're all fighting for careers. Actually, I think they're the ones that are keeping their nose clean. Don't you think, Butch?
They're not even eligible for the games. They're guys 13, 14, 15, 16.
But how much room?
You never get past 9 in a postseason game.
Yeah, but that's not the point. There's the workouts you get. There's this, like, there's a whole bunch. It's
workouts.
To be that cheap is dumb.
Well, I don't get is, what are they flying on? There's not spots on the plane. I mean, I'm thinking from the aviation aspect. I guess they have a charter, but is it retrofitted to have more or less seats? Because the thing about,
because are they flying empty seats instead of the two-way players?
Yeah, I'm sure they're. I'm sure they have bigger space for the players.
Or if not, are they putting in VIPs and or hangers on and or clients in?
That's probably seats? Yeah. Or extra coaches, laptop coaches, right?
There's the seats that are available. My understanding is he doesn't want to pay the hotel and those sorts of things.
Sure, that makes
sense. It's not more for the chartered flight guys.
God, no, this is the plane's the plane. Guy pays 3.1 billion, but can't pay $50 for a late checkout.
Well, maybe
fee.
This is his way of announcing a new regime up there.
It's
and
symbolic.
He's going to slowly loosen his grip. That he comes in and he says, I'm challenging everything. Every one of your preconceived notions as what I should do, what I should pay for. Why are we're looking at everything. He wants to get rid of one of the mascots, Armin. They've got
I think a lot of it is symbolic. Now, Butch, you remember Cuban did this when he started owning the Mavericks in the opposite way. He started investing more in the team. He splurged. He's like, we're getting softer chairs. We're getting everyone Xboxes. He thought that was going to make them play better because in the end, nothing matters but winning to most fans, right?
I think it helped the image of the Mavericks, and I think it helped.
Did it not get him a championship?
Well, Dirk got him a championship, but I don't think it hurt Bill. Yes. Butch, they were bad, and then they became better, and they became better run. I'm with you on that. So
why does Dirk stay as long? 20-some years, Dirk stayed.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
I think Cuban was smart to say, look, there's no cap on spending on your locker room. And this was when nobody was doing this, and he was having flat-screen TVs in every locker and fluffiest towels. And it made sense because you could attract more free agents. Guys do talk. Texas being a no state income tax state is a pretty good attraction as well.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think there was a lot to it. What I still don't understand is why the fuck did Cuban sell the team? I still don't understand.
Yeah, to the Adelsons.
I think he's asking himself that question.
I think he was ready to cash out, which I get the business aspect of it. But if you did it because you love doing it, this is the time, and he sold to the Adelsons, obviously, which is kind of interesting in its own right. But what I think is interesting is, all right, he owned the Hurricanes, talking about the new Blazers. He owned the Hurricanes, thought this can work, but the culture of the NHL is totally different than the NBA. The Russian expats or whatever it is and Scandinavian players aren't going to say anything. But everybody in the NBA talks, right, Butch? This is a basketball community. They're all going to talk. They're all going to say, like, why do we want to play for this guy? Nobody wanted to play in Portland in the first place. Most guys, Americans in the NBA. I think it's interesting. It's a risky move by him.
It's a dumb move.
Well, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And this is from a guy in Brian Butch who loves a good deal.
Loves it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Value, who has said on multiple occasions, I'm not paying for that. A guy who will go as far as to steal a full bottle of sauce at Chipotle thinking they're complimentary when they're clearly meant in that little sauce caddy to be used and reused by other customers. Brian,
that's wild. That's wild.
Are they not, you? Is that the same you?
Are they not in the to-go area?
Chipo? Huh?
Are they not in the to-go area? Are they not with the plastic forks and plastic silverware and plastic?
That you know no that's
point,
wrong.
At no point is there a sign that says, please leave the hot sauce. They are in the same caddy as the plastic forks, the napkins, the plastic spoons, and the knives.
Why did you take a chair? Why did you take a chair and tables?
Couldn't fit in my car.
Well, they're bolted down at most Chipotles, their benches.
Correct. Lara thought it was weird once when we were at a Mexican restaurant and I dumped the extra chips into our to-go box. Now, that's normal.
I haven't even done that.
Why? They're throwing those away. And I paid for those chips.
Oh, my God. A bottle of Cholula hot sauce is $4.19 at Target. What makes you think they're giving away $4.19 bottles? Brian,
you know, I
you don't care about their margins, Butch. You care about the New London Piggly Wiggly margins and rotted fruit.
I'm just saying, at no point, one grape. You can't take the bottle.
Tom Dundon is cheap because he won't send the two-way players down to San Antonio.
But they won.
Chase ass.
But you know what they need to do is they need to get the small bottles. That's just bad management.
Well, or get packets like Taco Bell.
No, you got to buy
bulk. That's what I'm saying.
You got to do what In-N-Out Burger does. They buy everyone does it, I guess. But they have these huge, huge bulk ketchups and stuff, and they just dump them in, then you press. Like
you
Culver's
can do that.
All right. Yeah. Well, just to close it out on Wemby, I hope he comes back as soon as possible while still being safe. It was like he was ready for his star turn now.
Totally.
In the NBA, so the casuals could kind of fully grasp what an unbelievable freak he is. Defensive player of the year, unanimous. I said he should just win that award until he retires, basically, because what he does is incomprehensible. And now he's going to be out for a while. And maybe the Blazers will win the series. I doubt it, but who knows, right?
Yeah.
We'll see how long he's out.
All right. LeBron had a big game as they go up 2-0 on the Rockets. 28-8-6 or something like that. Flying reverse dunks. 41 years old. Wow, that's impressive, isn't it? Every other athlete we've ever seen doing amazing things at a certain age makes people wonder, how is that possible? Brian Butch, you once were on McDonald's All-American with LeBron James back in the day. And you are LeBron positive.
Yeah, still am.
Are you sure? Are we sure he's not on something?
I am, absolutely.
You drug tested him
before? I mean, there might be, as far as the protein, all that other stuff, like I don't know for sure. Obviously, but the guy's been the way that he's been built, even from 18 years old, was different than everybody else in the gym. His body's been different his entire life.
Yes.
And now you look at the money that I'm sure he spends on his body for recovery, for
famously,
all these other things.
Yeah, cryotherapy.
And also, one of the reasons that the NBA is what it is, one of the reasons that the NBA needed to put in 65 games to make sure that you get the awards, that you qualify for it, is because of the culture that LeBron's put in. Like, his thought process in the league was, I'm going to play as long as possible. I want to play for a very long time. I'm going to rest days, load management. Like, that LeBron started the load management side of this thing, whether we want to admit it or not or say it was from a team. But because LeBron started that, yeah, I think that's been a big factor as far as what he's been able to do at 41, having the financial means to be able to add all this stuff to recovery, because there's constantly new science behind things that allow us to recover better, that allow us to go out there and play. I think I don't think there's a lot of, you know, outside help in PEDs that we're seeing this. I also don't think he's got many more years left either. So I think he knows this might be his last run.
Ago. We thought this is the end 3 years ago.
But he can't play forever. But we did the same with Brady. But it's funny that nobody accused Brady of having.
Yeah, we just talked about the avocado ice cream.
Some people did. I was very dubious of it. Brady had some very sketchy doctor connections to guys.
You might have tangentially
touched by, you know, PEDs. Tiger the same way. Dr. Anthony Galea was one of the Tiger guys that supposedly spun up platelets for his knee recovery. And you're like, why are you doing that from a guy in Florida? That could be done at any hospital around the corner. There's things. I'm just saying, the whole.
Brady's cheating more than LeBron.
I think he's probably on something. I think anyone who does amazing things beyond 40, I'm going to assume they're on something that is illegal.
That's the question.
The ones that are big enough, star-wise, usually get away with it because the leagues don't want to shut that down.
Zay, you're above 40. You do something great every single day, brother. I'm here changing the world every day.
Take a shit? That's not great. That's called standard operating procedure.
Depends what kind it is.
He's definitely on nutrition, whatever, all kinds of stuff. The question is it illegal? Is it frowned upon?
Right.
And because Mark McGwire put the creatine in his locker. What was that in his locker during the he was showing people what he was doing, which wasn't illegal at the time. So it depends how we as a society view it. That's what it comes down to.
The creatine powder he had in his locker was not illegal.
It wasn't illegal, right?
No, but that also wasn't what was doing it. The shit that he was getting from Balco.
Sure, but he was quote on something.
Yeah, that was the stuff that was supercharging him. I think McGwire put that stuff in his locker as an intentional hiding in plain sight distraction.
Correct.
Of
probably,
you know, and I think the avocado ice cream for you know, Brady. Tom Brady is a great, convenient. No. He's able to play at this age because he's so strict with his diet.
Because he works harder, yeah.
Wink, wink, you know? So I just, ever since Lance Armstrong, because I remember the whole Lance Armstrong wars, and people were so into him, and the yellow bracelets, the Livestrongs, right?
I had one.
And, right, it was a great story until it unraveled as being utter bullshit. And people were saying, how can he possibly be this good after cancer? And they were whipping up theories like, well, the cancer might have made him tougher. Yeah, that's it.
Because we want to believe in those things. We want to believe in good sports stories. We want to believe in chicken soup stories. We want that as humans.
Yes. Well, look, LeBron's playing great. Good for him. And they're up 2-0 on the Rockets. And maybe they'll get Luka back. And then we'll see what happens from there, right? They get Luka back, Butchie. Now they've got to get to a different style of play, right?
Well, yeah, true. There's no question. But also, this is what makes Bucks fans, or should make Bucks fans, really pissed, because they couldn't figure out, like, just get in. I mean, you just needed to get in. Like, this title seems so wide open this year.
But I agree, especially the East. But they couldn't do it. They weren't good enough. I mean, they weren't good or healthy enough. It's been a disaster every year for Bucks fans. So
the Wemby thing puts a bit of a wrinkle in it, but it's OKC, Denver, and San Antonio. And someone from the East is going to get a courtesy six games.
Probably Boston.
I don't know. Boston just lost.
I know, but everybody just lost. Like, Detroit lost. Like, I don't know who to trust in the East, but I think Boston's still better. But you're right, Butch. I mean, nobody's been perfect. No one's going to be perfect in the East. So, maybe Philly's better than I think with Edgecombe and Maxey and stuff.
You just get in.
On the NBA and Vegas front, Arm and I saw this new proposal for the NBA arena in Vegas. The proposal has it on the other side of Las Vegas Boulevard near the airport, across from Mandalay Bay, so that you could actually drive a private jet up to literally just outside the arena. It's called the Diamond Arena. It looks sick as fuck.
It does. The renderings look cool. Now, a lot of Vegas renderings look cool until they actually happen. We'll see if it ever does. But it makes sense. I mean, if the baseball stadium's there, if you want to make that close to the strip adjacent, I mean, the airport is right by the strip. You know, I get it. I mean, it's just amazing to think, really quickly, thinking about this, that there was such a fear of Las Vegas in professional sports until how many years ago? Now, every major sport they're going to have. We'll see. I mean, the stadium's going up, obviously, where the old Trop site was. That's happening. There's going to be baseball there.
See right now, Armin, and what I can hear in my head, I can hear the old NBA on NBC theme with Pat O'Brien. Well, actually, CBS.
That was CBS.
Pat O'Brien narrating. Da-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, that was NBC, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what was the CBS theme?
It went bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, ba-dum, bum, bum, ba-dum, ba-bum.
That's it. That's it right there. I can just hear that with Pat O'Brien and a shot of LeBron James stepping down his private jet in a suit as he's getting ready to walk across a small bridge into the arena.
It's crazy.
From jet to arena. Forget the tunnel shot. From the parking underneath, I want the jet right next to it.
Crazy. And more South Strip expansion. And it used to be all
like
about the North.
Kobe took the helicopter to his games.
There you go. Kobe did. Could to beat the traffic. Jesus. Rest in peace.
What?
No, but it was.
Bring that up?
Why?
He died in a helicopter crash.
Well, but that's how he got to games.
Well, tragedies happen, unfortunately.
Yes,
it happened
I know that's
to him. But it was functional.
That really.
It was functional.
By the way, that was a sad because he unlike Jordan, who we all thought we were going to get Jordan on NBC, like, we thought we were going to get more of that. Right. Like, unlike Jordan, Kobe was giving back to the game. And I love Jordan. Don't get me wrong. But like, Kobe was saying, okay, I'm going to find ways to give back. I'm going to give the knowledge back. I'm going to teach people. I'm going to explain things. I'm like, Kobe was all
especially
about that.
Girls and the women's game.
Especially the women's side. Yeah.
Michael's chosen to go away, basically.
Michael's chosen to go fishing and go racing.
Michael's like, fuck them kids and fuck the game of basketball. I did what I did. I'm
catch
out.
Catch 23.
Smoking cigars.
Whatever the boat is named, catch 23 in his racing group.
And have a feud with Scotty. How much time do we have really quick? Don't you think him and Scotty have to make up for Bulls fans? How could you ever get over that if you're a Bulls fan?
The Bulls figure out what they're doing. First of all, you talk about the Bulls, Billy Donovan out, whole re-front office change. Yeah, that's one of the franchises that should figure, like, that should be ideal. They should be the Knicks. They should be Lakers. And ownership has just ruined the Bulls.
They can't figure it out, but
all right.
When you're that good, I mean, that's
yeah. Real quick, 5 minutes and then we're out. Yeah. But
I got a dentist appointment. We gotta go.
Right now?
No. I got five for you.
Okay. By the way, Jordan and Barkley, Armin, have apparently quashed their long-running sort of feud.
Time. It's been like 20-some years. I hope they do now because why not? What are you going to do, die with a feud on somebody? Just a reminder for everybody, if you think you have a feud or make up before it's too late, life is short, man. Yep. Don't go through life doing that stuff. That's been 25 years of Jordan Barkley relationship lost.
Way too long. Also, stat of the day, Jordan has done more interviews on Fox for NASCAR because his car keeps winning.
Yep.
And he's done for NBC, who paid him $5 million.
Why did he even take that money? He makes so much money every year. They shouldn't even bothered.
Because they offered.
I know, which is silly. But it's also silly to pay Brady what they're paying. That's just the choices that these networks make. Right. And how many producers?
Butchie, please tell Armin the number one rule that you and I know. Take their money. Take. Yes.
Well, of course Jordan's going to take it, but that $5 million is nothing to him.
Now,
take it. Don't
now,
steal
if you're
it.
Jordan, if you're Jordan, you know, offer up some more interviews. Like,
yeah, maybe don't be a dick about it, but, you know, take your money. Okay.
His time's more important to
the guy who took the money, and this is the last thing, and I'm going to let you go 3 minutes on this. John Blackwell has taken the NIL money. He went to Duke, right?
Correct.
And it was for how much money?
I didn't have the number, but it was in the range of what I heard. His value was 4 to 5. Now, I don't know if that was the case or not.
$4 to $5 million. John Blackwell, who was one of the stars of Wisconsin this past year, is now a junior.
I think this is a senior year.
He had 3 years.
Senior year.
In Madison, okay. Right?
You had me thinking there. It's a senior year.
Okay. I'm shocked, Butchie, that there are any Badger fans who are actually mad at him. Like, grow up, people. The floor is yours.
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand that. I'm not mad at the kid for making the money, taking the money. Here's my counter is like, there's the reason that I'm sitting with you, the reason I did a morning show, the reason I've got some of the jobs that I've got in front of me is because I stayed at Wisconsin. Like, you burn some of those bridges, like you do. And I think that's one thing that people have to maneuver is how long are you still a Badger? Now, I think JB's still a Badger in what he's done, but there'll be people that say, hey, you left us. We're not going to help you out with whatever's next. JB said he wanted to go to Duke to be able to make sure he had the ball in his hands and was able to make plays. I said this on Butchie's Den. I'm actually going to jump on with Joe Krabanoff, Wisconsin assistant coach today. That'll drop too. But one of the things, like, Wisconsin put him in high pick and roll situations to be a facilitator.
Yeah, that's just so not – yeah, I agree.
His thought process of – I'm going to go to Duke and have the ball in my hands and be able to create, to me, is a little flawed because you look at Duke's backcourt, they have a lot of point guards already. They've got Caleb Foster coming back. They've got Boozer coming back. Like, they have a lot of guys that they're going to put in that position already. So I'm a little worried that this might not be a good fit for JB because JB could have been the leading scorer at Wisconsin. Like, he could have been top three in almost every category at Wisconsin and left a huge legacy. Instead, JB will just be another really good player that was at Wisconsin at some point.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think the changing times are going to make us think differently, Butch, really quick. I really do. I think Blackwell's legacy maybe could have been a little more, but I think it is what it is. I think he's going to take the money, and he should. And you would have made a lot, too, in NIL if this existed because you were one of the highest recruited players in the nation. I don't think fans are looking at it that way, but I agree with you that Blackwell's explanation about the ball in his hands was just lip service to make people not say I did it for the money.
No, I mean,
that's all it was. Armin, he had the ball in his hands every game. I mean, that's ridiculous, right? I mean,
Armin, his agents are telling him he needs to be a point guard. The problem is at 6'4 to be an NBA player. Problem is, and my advice to JB would be like, dude, be a really good college player and the rest will fall into place.
Yeah, get drafted, then change your game.
About changing next year to be a point guard, to be a league guy. Like, JB's not a card.
But then, Butch, none of that's real. He just, it was about the money and playing at Duke.
No, it's real, Darman.
I don't, that's what they're telling money people to make him sound
Darman,
good.
I've sat on the plane next to JB and have had conversations about him wanting to be a point guard.
Well, I believe he wants to be a point guard for the next level, but I don't think this is the reason he went to Duke, is my point, to become a point guard.
Dumb question, exit question. Is this the first time Duke has gone out and bought a guy?
No.
Who else did they buy? I thought they got all the guys.
Oh, they got Theo John.
Theo John. So, like, a lot of, right, just a role player at Marquette, get a chance to play at Duke. Now he can play his, now he can tell his grandkids he played at Duke. People want to play at Duke. They pay for Con.
Doesn't Duke still sort
of not a freshman? To answer your question, I actually think you're probably right. Like
I can't think most of their prime beef right out of high school because they're the top of the top of the top. And they're going right to the NBA, right? Like the Boozer boys.
A lot of times, Con did that. But now just take a finished product, which is John Blackwell. Why not?
Well, why not? Get in there and spend the money. Butchie's Den on YouTube. It is an awesome YouTube channel. Please subscribe and follow it for all kinds of Wisconsin-related content, both with the University of, which Brian is still very connected, and, of course, updates on the Shiocton Piggly Wiggly and when it can expect.
Well, New London Piggly Wiggly. I'll drop this in there. Shiocton, the city, by the way. Seth Curry, they grabbed Steph's brother, was a transfer in. So they have at times.
Okay.
But that wasn't NIL, was it?
Which he's dead on YouTube.
I mean, you asked what they did.
They take like, transfers,
Armin Sarian on Fox Sports 920, Fox Sports Wisconsin. What are you calling that station there?
Yeah, Fox Sports Wisconsin 920, and then Fox Sports 1070 as well in Madison. The show is The Huddle, and you can stream us, obviously, in the iHeart app, and you can stream us on YouTube X and Facebook.
Say hi to Billy and Drew for me. I miss you, fools.
I will. I will.
All right, boys. You. Thank you.
See ya.
Thanks, guys.
Let's end on this. Pete Davidson is coming clean on his arms. He's had tattoo removal that has spanned several years now, as he went through a period in his life where he just got every square inch of unused skin inked up to the moon and then later regretted it. Davidson's on pace to spend about $660,000 when it's all said and done, actively removing all of his tattoos. But what happens when you remove a tattoo is genuinely one of the weirdest things happening inside the human body. This post is from Akash Gupta, who is productgrowth.com, YouTube. I don't know. He's got 240,000 followers. Somehow popped up in my timeline. I'm going to assume this information is mostly right. He writes, tattoos are permanent because your immune system is actively holding the ink in place. White blood cells called macrophages swarm the ink, try to eat it like bacteria, fail because the ink is chemically indestructible, and then just refuse to let go. They sit in your skin with a pigment trapped inside them for life. The tattoo you see is a grid of immune cells frozen in the middle of trying to destroy something they can't. My mind is blown. But it gets weirder. When one of those cells finally dies of old age, a nearby macrophage grabs the released ink before it can drain. Then that one dies and passes it to the next one. The tattoo is in a relay race of immune cells handing off the same ink particles for 50 years. Lasers, writes Gupta, are not erasers. They fire pulses of light so fast, 1/1,000,000,000th of a second, that they create tiny shockwaves that blow the ink into smaller pieces. The laser doesn't remove anything, it just shatters the tattoo. Here's the cruel part. The second the laser shatters the ink, fresh macrophages sprint in and swallow the pieces before your body can wash them away. You are paying a laser specialist $500 a session to break ink apart even faster than your immune system can re-eat it. And where does the ink that actually escapes go? To your lymph nodes. It piles up there. Women with tattoos have ink in their armpit lymph nodes. It shows up on mammograms. Surgeons have sometimes mistaken it for cancer. Pete had over 200 plus tattoos. Each one needs 10 to 12 sessions because each session only wins a tiny fraction of the war. He's not buying tattoo removal. He's buying a decade-long siege against his own immune system, paid in installments of $500 shockwave blasts, while white blood cells inside his body sprint back and forth trying to eat their own ammo. In other words, $660,000 to starve the cells that refuse to let him forget who he used to be. Holy shit. I know I'm going to hear from many of you who have ink and like their ink and are going to point out, well, he wasn't right about this. It's totally safe. It doesn't matter. Oh, this is dramatized. Okay, I'm here for the education, so please. But man, that sounds crazy, and it sounds like yet another reason why I'm not going to get a tattoo. Mostly because, you know why? Can't return it. It's the hardest return on earth. You know me, a guy who's in deathly fear of any kind of commitment? Nah. Could never commit to a single tattoo, no matter how good it looks, no matter how sweet it sits on my bicep, or on my thigh, or on my cheek, or near my eyelid, where there's a teardrop. What that means, you kill the guy. What are you talking? Okay. Never mind. That's enough for me today. Thank you so much for downloading and listening. Sorry I didn't give you a whole mock draft. They're going to pick guys tonight. Don't worry. They'll have them all on your TV screen. You'll have a lot of analysis from the guys there. Like Howard Cosell said, you know, it's an amazement that this thing is such a big event, but it is. So enjoy. We will be back on Friday with Scott and Sally to comment on various things regarding the draft. It's going to be going on when we're actually recording on Thursday night, so don't count on a lot of recap, but I'm going to stay up late, give you a little bit of recap at the top of the Friday subscriber Zabecast. So tune into that if you are already a paid subscriber. If not, get on board. My God, be a true one percenter. Help support the cause. $5 a month. You know you've got that rattling around somewhere in your budget. Directed my way. Go to zabe.com/premium. Skip all the ads Monday through Thursday and then join the exclusive 1% club that are true, true Zabe fans on Fridays. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday, everybody, and we will see you next time.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.